بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، we begin this afternoon reading from the chapter the author she has mentioned, حفظها الله تعالى حفظ لسان حفظ اللسان وفضله. The chapter that the author has entitled Abdullah al-Wadi'iyya, حفظها الله تعالى, protecting the tongue and its virtue. Protecting the tongue and its virtue. We see that the author, she has began her work mentioning the obligation of worshiping Allah Azza wa Jalla alone with no partners, and clarifying that this is the reason for the creation of the human being, and that this life is a test, and in the hereafter there is accountability. And those who are successful in this life, they will be successful in the hereafter. And the losers, they are those who lost their own souls to their desires and to their whims and the disobedience of their Creator, and thus they lost their hereafter. They lost their hereafter. And she mentioned in the introduction likewise the importance of al-ikhlas and its status in the deen, and that no action is accepted except the one that is done sincerely for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal alone, seeking His reward and seeking His pleasure, seeking the abode of the hereafter, seeking the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. This affair here is affair that is related to the heart. This affair here is an affair that is related to the heart, al-ikhlas, sincerity in worship, sincerity in worship and purity of intention. This is an issue that is related to the heart. The ulama, they have mentioned that the heart, it is like the king. And if the heart is good, then the rest of the body will be good, as has come in the narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ala inna fil jasadi mudghah idha salahat salaha al jasadu kullu wa idha fasadat fasada al jasadu kullu alla wa hiya al qalb, that verily in the body there is a piece of flesh, and if it is good, then the whole body will be good, and if it is corrupted, then the whole body will be corrupted, and verily it is the heart. So she began advising the sisters, nasihati lin nisa, began by mentioning the importance of rectifying the heart, rectifying the intention, rectifying the desire of an individual to be in accordance with that which Allah Azza wa Jalla has commanded, to be in accordance to that which Allah Azza wa Jalla loves and has legislated in His book and by way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now we see that the author, she is changing and from the heart, the affairs of the heart, now mentioning the affairs of the tongue. And the relationship between the heart and the tongue is a very strong relationship and bond, and between them they are the point of accountability for an individual. Many of the salaf, they would say al-mar'u bi asgharayhi, al-mar'u bi asgharayhi, that an individual, he is held accountable for the two smallest portions and that he has, meaning the heart and the tongue. The heart and the tongue. And in these two body parts, they are the king and the commander. The ulama have mentioned, if the heart is the king, then the tongue, it is the amir. If the heart, al-qalb huwa al-malik, fal-lisanu huwa al-amir, that the king, the heart is the king, then if this is the case, then the tongue, it is the commander. then the tongue, it is the commander, and the rest of the body parts, they get what the king desires and that which the commander calls for and commands. The relationship between the tongue and the heart is an amazing relationship that a believer should be aware of. The ties between the two. It has come in the narrations collected on our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, particularly a narration that is collected by Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi rahimahullah ta'ala. He has in his book Al-Jami' a chapter titled Babun Ma Ja'a Fi Hifdh Al-Lisan, similar to what the author has mentioned, a chapter that which has come, meaning that which has come in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam with regards to the preservation or the guarding of the tongue, that one will guard their tongue. Tirmidhi, he mentioned Babu ma ja'a fi hifdh al-lisan. The author, she mentioned hifdh al-lisani wa fadluhu, the virtue of the tongue and preserving it, protecting it, protecting the tongue and likewise its virtue, protecting the tongue and its virtue. So at-Tirmidhi rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned a similar chapter. In this chapter, he mentioned the narration of Sufyan ibn Abdullah al-Thaqafi. And this is a very famous narration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's the 21st hadith in the Arba'in al-Nawawiyyah, the 40 hadith of al-Nawawi rahimahullah. But here it's collected likewise in at-Tirmidhi. But the wording is a bit different from the hadith of Sufyan ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anhu. He said, Ya Rasulullah, hadithni bi amrin a'tasimu bih. He said, O Messenger of Allah, narrate to me an affair that I can hold fast to, and something that I can hold on to, and I'm to apply it. And he said, Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قُلْ رَبِّيَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِيمُ. He told him, Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, my Lord is Allah, and then be steadfast and upright. قُلْ رَبِّيَ اللَّهِ, say, my Lord is Allah. This is an affair of the heart, a belief in the heart. My Lord is Allah. He believes that his Lord and his Creator and his Sustainer and Provider, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, is Allah, Rabbi Allah. And then he said, Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ثُمَّ اسْتَقِيم, and then be upright, and in your body parts, and then be upright upon the straight path in your conduct and your manners. قُلْتُ, he said, Sufyan, he said to the Messenger, Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مَا أَخْوَفُ مَا تَخَافُ عَلَيْهِ. After asking this question first, tell me something, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, narrate to me something of an affair that I can hold fast to. That would be a means of safety for me and savior. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you say, and with your tongue and in your heart, that my Lord is Allah, and then you be steadfast and upright. After that, Sufyan, he says, radiallahu anhu, what is the thing that you fear most for me, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What is the thing that you fear most for me? And what are you most afraid of for me? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The question is, Sufyan, he says about the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَأَخَذَ بِلِسَانِ نَفْسِهِ ثُمَّ قَالَ هَذَا. So Sufyan, he said, radiallahu anhu, what is the thing that you fear most for me, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he grabbed his own tongue with his hands, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said this. He said, what are you most afraid for me? After advising him to say, my Lord is Allah, and to have istiqama, and to be steadfast, and to be upright, he asked another question. What do you fear most for me? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what do you fear most for me with regards to my deen, and my istiqama, and my belief that my Lord is Allah? What do you fear most for me? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took hold of his own tongue, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, hadha, and he, this. So we see that the tongue is something that is very dangerous. The tongue is something that is very dangerous. Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, he mentioned about this. He said, وَأَعْظَمُ مَا يُرَاءَ إِسْتِقَامَتُهُ بَعْدِ الْقَلْبِ مِنَ الْجَوَارِحِ اللِّسَانُ فَإِنَّهُ تُرْجُمَانِ الْقَلْبِ فَإِنَّهُ تُرْجُمَانُ الْقَلْبِ وَالْمُعَبِّرُ عَنْهُ. He said, the greatest thing that one has to observe and be aware of with regards to his steadfastness after the affair of the heart, and from the rest of the body parts, is the tongue. Because verily the tongue, it is the turjuman al-qalb. It is the translator of the heart, and the one that expresses that which is inside the heart. And that which is inside the heart is from the affairs of the unseen, but it becomes present from the words that a person speaks with their tongue. The tongue expresses that which is in the hearts. So the relationship between the heart and tongue is a strong bond. Is a strong bond. Likewise, with regards to being steadfast and upright, if the heart is upright, then the person will be upright. The rest of the body, likewise, the tongue. If the tongue is upright, likewise, this is indication that the person, he's upright or she is upright. Likewise, it has been narrated from Anas ibn Malik. That way we can see also the intention of the author here, so a person can be aware. Preserving the tongue, it's very important. Protecting the tongue, حِفْظُ lisan, protecting the tongue is very important. A person's soul could be lost because of their tongue. A person could reach the highest ranks of paradise because of the deeds they say, the words that they say with their tongue. Likewise, could fall into the depths of the hellfire because of the tongue. So the tongue, it has a great, great virtue, and likewise it has dangers. It has dangers. It's been narrated from Anas radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, again with regards to istiqamah, because in the first of this chapter or this book that we're reading, Nasihat al-Nisa, she's advising the women to have al-istiqamah. Al-istiqamah al-ikhlasi wa ibadatillahi wahda wa al-luzum al-sunnah wa fahm ala fahm al-salif al-ummah, and to take advantage of the time, to be steadfast upon the worship of Allah with sincerity, and to take advantage of the time following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, following the way of the pious predecessors, as-salaf as-salih, and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon sincerity and upon the sunnah of the Prophet. This is what the introduction was about in summarization. Now she's going to the issue of the tongue. But that istiqamah and steadfastness upon ikhlas and mutaba'ah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has a direct relationship with the tongue. Here we have the narration of Anas radiallahu anhu that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, لَا يَسْتَقِيمُ إِمَانُ عَبْدٍ حَتَّى يَسْتَقِيمَ قَلْبُهُ وَلَا يَسْتَقِيمُ قَلْبُهُ حَتَّى يَسْتَقِيمَ لِسَانُهُ. He said sallallahu alayhi wasallam that the iman of a servant, any male or female, will not be upright and steadfast, will not have istiqamah, be upright, correct the iman of an individual until his heart is upright. And the heart will not be upright until the tongue is upright. Until the tongue is upright. So the relationship between the heart and the tongue with regards to iman and istiqamah is a strong bond, a strong relationship. And they work together. And the heart is like the king, and the tongue is like the amir and the commander. And the rest of the body parts, they follow as commanded. They follow the orders of the king and the commander. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned it, إِذَا أَرَدْتَ أَن تَسْتَدِلَّ عَلَى مَا فِي الْقَلْبِ فَاسْتَدِلَّ عَلَيْهِ بِحَرَكَةِ اللِّسَانِ. If you want to use as a proof that of that which is in the heart of an individual, then use the movement of the tongue as a proof. Meaning that the affairs of the heart are unseen, and a person does not know what is in the heart of another. But whenever one speaks, he is clarifying that which is inside of the heart. Many of the people will say something and expose, whenever they speak, they expose themselves. They expose themselves, whether they have good in their heart or whether they have evil in their heart. The one that has good in their heart will say words with their tongue that are good and beneficial. And they will refrain and stay away from saying words that are harmful and corrupted. On the contrary, the one who has corruption in their heart, then the tongue will speak with corruption. And it will likewise refrain, or very little or seldomly will it say something that is good and beneficial. So the ulama of the Salaf, they have mentioned that the hearts, the example of the hearts is that of pots that are cooked in, and one that would cook with pots, and in qudur, and that the ladles or the spoons, the example of the spoons that dish out that which is in the pot, they are the example of the tongues. So we have pots of food and the likes, and the way to dip it out is, or soup or whatever may be in the pots in the qudur, and the way to dip it out is with the big spoons, the ladles. Like this, the hearts are similarly like this, and the tongues, they dish out that which is inside of them, that which is inside of them. So a believer has to be very cautious of the tongue, and likewise of the heart. And that the iman will never be correct until the heart is correct, and the heart will not be correct until the tongue is correct. So we see that preserving the tongue is actually a part of al-Islam, a great part of al-Islam. Rather, the perfection of one's deen or one's religion will not be correct and complete until they preserve and protect their tongue, until they preserve and protect their tongue. So we read, she says, حِفْظُ اللِّسَانِ وَفَضْلُهُ, and preserving the tongue, protecting the tongue, likewise the virtue of the tongue, the virtue of the tongue. قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَأَسْبَغَ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعَمَهُ ظَاهِرَةً وَبَاطِنَةً. She says that Allah Azza wa Jalla, He mentioned that He has said in His book the meaning of that, which is that Allah has bestowed upon you blessings outwardly and inwardly. Allah has bestowed upon you many blessings outwardly and inwardly. وَيُقُولُ تَعَالَى, and Allah, He says, the Most High, وَإِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْسُوهَا, and if you were to count the blessings of Allah, you could not enumerate them. If you were to count them, 1, 2, 3, 4, like this, you will not be able to enumerate all of them. She says, وَمِنْ ضِمْنِ هَذِهِ النِّعَمِ اللِّسَانُ, وَمِنْ ضِمْنِ هَذِهِ النِّعَمِ, and from amongst these blessings, the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jalla that you cannot count, but from them, she says, al-lisan, the tongue, it is a blessing. أَقْرَمَ اللَّهُ بِهِ عَبْدَهِ, that Allah has honored the slave with the tongue in being able to speak and to speak languages and to speak fluently and clearly and to express one's feelings and one's ideas and the likes. This is a great blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has favored the children of Adam with over the rest of the creation. وَجَعَلَهُ يُعَبِّرُ عَمَّا فِي نَفْسِهِ, she says, حَفِظَهَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, and Allah has made the tongue the means for him to express that which is inside of his own self. That which is inside of his own self. The human being, he has ideas and he has thoughts. And likewise, there are feelings and emotions inside of him. And the means that he expresses these feelings and emotions is with his tongue. The author is indicating here that this is a great blessing. A blessing that a believer must remember and show thanks for. Showing thanks for the blessing of the tongue. كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى, just as Allah says, she mentions, الرحمن علم القرآن خلق الإنسان علمه البيان. And again, indicating the virtue of the tongue, she mentions the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, Ar-Rahman, the Most Gracious, that He has taught the Quran, and that He has created mankind, and He has taught the human being al-bayan, clear speech, and the ability to speak. يقول عز وجل ممتنا على عبده إذ جعل له لسانا ألم نجعل له عينين ولسانا وشفتين. She says here that Allah Azza wa Jal, He mentions in His book, mentioning His blessings that He has bestowed upon His servant by giving him a tongue. And Allah, He mentions, did we not make for him, and for the human being, two eyes, and likewise two lips, and two eyes to see with, and likewise two lips to speak with? And meaning that Allah Azza wa Jal, He is the one who has provided these eyes. And He is the one who has authority over them to provide the eyesight and likewise to command and to prohibit that which should be looked at and that which not should be looked at. And the likes, and that which one should use their lips to speak and that which is impermissible or displeasing to Allah. Allah Azza wa Jal, He is the one who has provided the eyes and the lips for the human being. And He is well aware of what each one of us does with them. She says, اللسان قد يرفع صاحبه بسببه اللسان قد يرفع أو قد يرفع صاحبه بسببه إلى أعلى الدرجات. That verily the tongue, a person could be raised because of it to the highest levels. ويكون ذلك إذا صرفه في الأمور الخيرية من دعاء وقراءة القرآن وفي الدعوة إلى الله وفي التعليم ونحو ذلك. So اللسان قد يرفع صاحبه بسببه إلى أعلى الدرجات. That the tongue, because of it, a person could be raised to the highest levels. And this will be if they use their tongue in the affairs of good. And the affairs of good, for example, supplicating and calling on Allah alone. Likewise, reciting the Qur'an. Also, likewise, she mentioned حَفِظَهَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, calling to Allah Azza wa Jal, and teaching and other than that. And these are means that one could use their tongue to reach high ranks and status in this life and in the hereafter, reaching the pleasure and the mercy of Allah by using their tongue fil umur khayriyah and the affairs of goodness. She says, وَبِعِبَارَةٍ أُخْرَى, in other words, إِذَا صَرَفَهُ فِيمَا يُرْضِ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ مِثْلُ النُّطْقِ بِالتَّوْحِيدِ وَإِذَا تَوَفَّرَتْ بَقِيَةُ الشُّرُوطِ الْمَجْمُوعَةِ فِيهِ عِلْمٌ يَقِينٌ وَإِخْلَاصٌ وَصِدْقٌ كَمَعَهُ مَحَبَّةٌ وَانْقِيَادٌ وَالْقَبُولِ لَهَا. She mentioned here, likewise, in other words, what she's discussing here is that if the person, or what all that means, how a person could be raised to the highest ranks in this life and the hereafter because of their tongue, meaning if they use their tongue in that which is pleasing to Allah. For example, by making the statement of At-Tawheed, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Like this, she says, mentioning, for example, the statement of At-Tawheed. And she is indicating here that that statement will not benefit alone just with the statement of the tongue, but likewise as long as the rest of the conditions are along with that. And she mentioned that are gathered in the lines of poetry, knowledge and certainty and sincerity, along with your truthfulness, love and compliance and acceptance to it. And he mentioning an indication here that speaking the statement of Tawheed is from those actions very pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal, but there are other requirements along with that statement. Along with saying it with a tongue, one must believe it in their heart and know what they are stating and know what it means, and then have certainty about that and be sincere and be truthful with regards to that and love that statement that they have stated and that they believe that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. And that they comply to that and they accept all of the commandments and everything that comes along with the statement to fulfill its rights. She says, بَلْ هَذَا النَّوْءُ أَفْضَلُ مَا يَنْطِقُ بِهِ اللِّسَانِ. She says, but rather this is the most virtuous thing that the tongue can speak with. And meaning that if the rest of the conditions are also present. وَفِي الصَّحِيحَيْنِ مِنْ حَدِيثِ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. And in the two authentic collections of Bukhari and Muslim from the narration of أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The messenger of Allah, he says, صلى الله عليه وسلم, he mentioned, الإيمان بضع وستون شعبة. That at Iman, it is 60 some odd branches. فأفضلها قول لا إله إلا الله. And the most virtuous of those branches, the statement لا إله إلا الله. وَأَدْنَاهَا إِمَاطَةُ الْأَذَى عَنِ الطَّرِيقِ. And the lowest of those branches is to remove some harm from the path. وَالْحَيَاءُ شُعْبَةُ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. And to be shy and bashful and to have modesty is a branch from al-Iman. With regards to the creed and the belief of Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah in al-Iman is that it is قَوْلٌ بِاللِّسَانِ واعتقاد بالقلب وعمل بالجوارح فهو قول واعتقاد وعمل. That this is the proper understanding of al-Iman, that it is a statement on the tongue, and likewise it is a belief in the heart, and also it is actions on the body parts. Al-Iman, and with regards to Ahl Sunnah, it is قول باللسان واعتقاد بالجنان يعني في القلب وعمل بالجوارح والأركان يزيد بطاعة الرحمن وينقص بطاعة الشيطان. Al-Iman, it goes up and it goes down, it increases and it decreases. And the reality of Al-Iman with the people of the Sunnah is that it is a statement on the tongue and it is a belief in the heart and likewise actions on the body parts. This hadith here is a proof for that. This hadith here, which is collected in Al-Bukhari and Muslim, the ulama, they have mentioned that this hadith consists of all aspects of Iman. Al-Iman is 60 somewhat branches, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said. The highest, in one narration, فَأَعْلَاهَا, the highest. In this wording here, فَأَفْضَلُهَا, the most virtuous of these branches of Iman, these 60 somewhat branches. Likewise, it's come, بِدْعُونَ وَسَبْعُونَ, 70 somewhat branches in some narrations. The point here is that the highest or the most virtuous of those branches of Iman, قولوا, the statement, لا إله إلا الله, So here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is referring to the branches of iman. One of them, he mentioned the highest of them is the statement, la ilaha illallah. So that's a clear proof that iman is a statement. From the best of those statements, or rather the best of those statements, la ilaha illallah. وَأَدْنَاهَا, the lowest branch of iman, إِمَاطَةُ الْأَذَىٰ عَنِ الطَّرِيقِ, to remove some harm from the path. And this is an action. This is an action that one does with their body parts. They remove the harm or the dangerous things that will be left in the path, removing them from the path. وَالْحَيَاءُ شُعْبَةُ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in modesty and bashfulness, shyness is a branch of iman. And modesty and shyness, al-haya, is something that is in the heart. It is something that is in the heart. So we see that this hadith here is a proof, one of those proofs of the people of the sunnah for the correct understanding of al-iman. That is a statement on the tongue and a belief in the heart, and likewise actions on the body parts. So she says, وَبِهِ يَحْسُرُ الْفَوْزُ وَالْفَلَاحِ وَبِهِ يَحْسُرُ الْفَوْزُ وَالْفَلَاحِ بِالنُّطْقِ بِهَذِهِ الْكَلِمَةِ Al-Azima, meaning by pronouncing this statement, then all of success or the success and is obtained by way of it, and by way of pronouncing this statement. فَقَدْ كَانَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَدْعُو قَوْمَهُ إِلَى ذَلِكَ. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to call and invite his people to this. وَيَقُولُ قُولُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ تُفْرِحُوا. He would say to his people, O my people, say La ilaha illallah, and with your tongues, say it with your tongues and believe it in your hearts, and you will be successful. قُلْ قُولُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ تُفْلِحُوا. Say La ilaha illallah, you will be successful. She mentions here, أَخْرَجَهُ ibn Khuzaymah and Tariq ibn Abdullah al-Muharibi رضي الله عنه هو في الصحيح المسند. أَخْرَجَهُ ibn Khuzaymah. Ibn Khuzaymah, he died in year 311. He has a collection called Sahih Ibn Khuzaymah. Sahih Ibn Khuzaymah, from the great scholars of hadith, and from those books of hadith that are relied upon, is his book Sahih Ibn Khuzaymah. Although all of it is not present till this day, it was lost, many of it, but a portion of it is left. And some of his narrations are also recorded from what others have narrated from his book. As for the whole book, it's not available, the whole book, Sahih ibn Khuzaymah. But the book of Tawheed from that book is present, Ibn Khuzaymah, but he's very well known, great scholar of hadith. And his laqab, or his nickname that the ulama have mentioned about him, Imamul A'immah, the Imam of the Imams, any meaning of hadith. She says here, وَهُوَ فِي الصَّحِيحِ الْمُسْنَدِ. Yani this hadith here that was found or collected by Ibn Khuzaymah rahimahullah is also found in the book called الصَّحِيحِ الْمُسْنَدِ. We spoke about this before, and this is the work of her father. This is from the work of her father rahimahullah, Sheikh Muqbil rahimahullah. He has a collection of hadith that are authentic, that are not from Bukhari and Muslim or from the other famous or more famous works that are mentioned, that are collected authentically, like in Bukhari and Muslim, but they are hadith found in other books that are likewise also authentic, that the Imam Muqbil has declared authentic, as-Sahih al-Musnad. She says, وَمِثْلُ الذِّكْرِ كَمَا قَالَ رَبُّنَا فِي كِتَابِهِ الْعَزِيزِ. Also from the examples of the virtue of the tongue, she says, like making dhikr, the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal, as our Lord has mentioned in His book, in His mighty book, إِنَّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ إِلَى قَوْلِهِ وَالذَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَالذَّاكِرَاتِ تَعَدَّ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةً وَأَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. This verse, which is in the chapter Al-Ahzab, the chapter entitled Al-Ahzab, the Confederates, Allah Azza wa Jal, He mentioned in this verse the attributes of the believers, the men and women, many of their attributes. Beginning that verity, the Muslim males and the Muslim females, until the end of the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, those who remember Allah a lot from the males and females, those males who remember Allah in abundance, and likewise those females, verity Allah has prepared for them forgiveness and a great reward. Has prepared for them forgiveness and a great reward. وَذَاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَالذَّاكِرَاتِ. So this is also likewise from the virtue of the tongue, that a believer, male or female, can use their tongue to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to remember Him and to mention His names and attributes, and to praise Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to remember Him in the morning and in the evening. And this is a means to obtain forgiveness and a great reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She says, وروى الإمام أحمد في مسنده والترمذي برقم برقمي يعني الحديث 77,333 واللفظ له عن أبي الدرداء رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ألا أنبئكم بخير أعمالكم وأزكاها عند مليككم وأرفعها في درجاتكم وخير لكم من إنفاق الذهب والورق وخير لكم من أن تلقوا عدوكم فتضربوا أعناقهم ويضربوا أعناقكم قالوا بلى يا رسول الله قال ذكر الله قال معاذ بن جابر رضي الله عنه ما شيء أنجى من عذاب الله من ذكر الله. She says here, وَهُوَ فِي الصَّحِيحِ الْمُسْنَدِ, yani in the collection of her father. I mean, he's authenticated by her father. Likewise, rahimahullah. This collection or this hadith is collected by Al-Imam Ahmed and likewise at Tirmidhi, both of them from the narration of Abi Adarda. She mentioned, radiallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told his companion, should I not inform you of the best of your deeds and the most pure? The best of your deeds and the most pure, and the one that will bring about the most blessing. يعني أزكى الزكاة هو النمو والنمو وزيادة في البركة وأزكاها عند مليككم. Should I not inform you of the best of your deeds and the one that has the most blessing for you from your Lord and King, and the one that will raise your ranks the most, يعني meaning in this life and the hereafter, and it's better for you, يعني the deed is better for you than spending, any meaning in charity in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, gold and silver, and better for you than meeting your enemy and you strike their necks and they strike your necks, any meaning fighting in the jihad fi sabilillah until one dies. The companions said, of course, O Messenger of Allah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's mentioning, should I not inform you of a deed that has more blessing for you with your Lord and your King and your Master, with Allah Azza wa Jal, and that will raise your ranks more than spending gold and silver and in the path of Allah, and that it has more blessing for you and reward and will raise your ranks more with Allah Azza wa Jal, even than fighting your enemies in the jihad fi sabilillah. They said, of course, tell us the deed, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, dhikrullah, to remember Allah Azza wa Jal. To remember Allah Azza wa Jal. To remember Allah Azza wa Jal. This is greater than all of this. And this does not mean that these other deeds are light, or that one should take these deeds lightly, that spending gold and silver in the path of Allah is something light. La. Or that fighting the enemy until they strike your neck is something light. La. These are great, great deeds. Great, great deeds. But greater than them, this is the point here, greater than them, the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. The remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. Mu'adh ibn Jabal, he said likewise with regards to this radiallahu anhu, that there is nothing that will save the person from the punishment of Allah more than the remembrance of Allah. The remembrance of Allah. The remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal, dhikr, is something that is very beneficial for the servant. And some people, they misunderstand the word dhikr and they restrict it or limit it to saying tasbih, for example, which is definitely dhikr. To make dhikr, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, allahu akbar, subhanallah al-azim. All of this is from the dhikr, la ilaha illallah, Muhammad al-Rasulullah. All of this is from the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, but it's not limited to that. Likewise, from the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal is to remember His commandments and to comply to them. To remember His commandments and to remember His greatness and that He has commandments and to comply to them. This is also from the dhikr of Allah. Likewise, to remember that He has prohibitions and to refrain from them and leave them for fear of His punishment. This is also from the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, from the greatest of the dhikr of Allah. To remember Allah's commandments and prohibitions and to comply to them, hoping for His reward and fearing His punishment. Likewise, the gatherings of knowledge and the gatherings where the Quran is recited and where the hadith are mentioned and where the halal and the haram is being clarified and the reminder of the hereafter is being mentioned and admonishment and the likes, this is all from the dhikr of Allah. And the gatherings of knowledge, they are considered hilaq al-dhikr. Hilaq al-dhikr, majalis al-dhikr, majalis al-halali wal-haram. The gatherings of knowledge, they are in the circles of knowledge, the ulama, they call them the circles of dhikr, the dhikr, where the halal and the haram is being clarified. But here, referring to the dhikr of the tongue, the dhikr of the tongue, mentioning the name of Allah Azza wa Jal and remembering Him with the tongue and praising Him with the tongue, and the likes. Ibn al-Qayyim, he mentioned about this, about the dhikr. Yani the dhikr of the tongue, but also the dhikr of the heart. And to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to mention Him, and to remember His commandments, and to remember His promise of resurrection, and to remember His promise of accountability, and to remember His promise of entering those who believe in Him and comply to His commandments of paradise, and remembering His promise likewise, and threat for those who disobey Him of the punishment of the hellfire. Ibn Qayyim, he mentions, إِنَّ أَفْضَلَ أَهْلِ كُلِّ عَمَلٍ أَكْثَرُهُمْ فِيهِ ذِكْرًا لِلَّهِ. And this is with regards to dhikr, the remembrance of Allah. That the most virtuous or the best of every person who is doing a deed, and this is something very general, so we pay attention, that the most virtuous of the people who do deeds is the one that remembers Allah the most while doing that deed. Any whatever the deed is. So who has the most virtuous? Who is the most virtuous worshipper? The one who is worshipping Allah, who has the most virtue from them? He is saying the one who is worshipping Allah Azza wa Jalla and remembering Him the most during that worship. This is because some people worship Allah Azza wa Jalla and they do not remember Allah except for a little while they are worshipping Him. Maybe they pray and they in their prayer they barely even remember Allah Azza wa Jalla, although they mention His name and attributes with their tongue, but actually their heart is not thinking of their Lord, rather it's thinking of the dunya. So the people who are doing actions of worship, those who are the most virtuous are those who remember Allah the most. فَأَفْضَلُ, he says Ibn Qayyim, فَأَفْضَلُ السُّوَّامِ أَكْثَرُهُمْ ذِكْرًا لِلَّهِ فِي سَوْمِهِمْ, that the most virtuous of those people who fast, they are the ones who remember Allah the most during their fast. And remembering Allah Azza wa Jal and remembering His promise and reward for the fasting people and remembering His punishment and likewise remembering His commandments and complying to them and remembering His prohibitions and staying away from them, hoping for His reward and fearing His punishment, this one who fasts like this is the most virtuous. Is the most virtuous. The one who remembers Allah, those who fast, the one who remembers Allah the most during their fast, this is the most virtuous. وَأَفْضَلُ الْمُتَصَدِّقِينَ أَكْثَرُهُمْ ذِكْرًا لِلَّهِ. And the most virtuous and the best of those who give charity are those who remember Allah the most while giving charity. Not just giving to be giving, not just giving to be kind, but giving hoping for the reward from Allah Azza wa Jalla. Hoping for acceptance and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, giving for this reason. So those who give wealth and charity, the best of them are the ones that give their wealth while they remember Allah the most, the one who remembers Allah the most during this. He said, وَأَفْضَلُ الْحُجَّاجِ أَكْثَرُهُمْ ذِكْرًا لِلَّهِ وَحَكَذَا سَائِرُ الْأَعْمَالِ. He said that the most virtuous of those pilgrims making Hajj are the ones who remember Allah the most and like this with the rest of the deeds. So likewise, the best of those who teach are the ones who remember Allah the most and hope for His reward during their teaching. And the best of those who study and memorize the Quran or learn hadith or sit in the gatherings of knowledge are the ones who remember Allah the most. They're not just sitting to pass time or entertainment because their parents forced them or asked them to attend or their friends invited them, but rather in order to benefit and to please Allah Azza wa Jal, knowing that Allah, He loves this action and this deed, and that's an act of worship, and they remember Allah in that act and they hope for His reward. The statement by Ibn Qayyim is found in his book called Al-Wabil As-Sayyib, a very beneficial book all about the virtues of dhikr, the virtues of dhikr. So we see here that this is from the virtues of the tongue, clearly the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. The remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the tongue. She says, likewise, وَمِثْرُ الْإِسْتِغْفَارِ, and also from those great virtues of the tongue and the means for an individual to raise the ranks, raise ranks in this life and in the hereafter, to the درجات العالية الاستغفار, seeking forgiveness. فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول طوبى لمن وجد في صحيفته استغفارا كثيرا. Because the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he mentioned that glad tidings, طوبى. طوبى means يعني بشارة, glad tidings. But likewise, it has been mentioned that طوبى is جنة or شجرة في الجنة. This has been mentioned from the ulama, that طوبى, it is a referring to Jannah or a tree in Jannah. And a glad tidings of this paradise, or the tree in a tree in paradise, for the one who found in his sahifa, in his record of deeds, much istighfar, and he's seeking forgiveness a lot. Seeking forgiveness a lot. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would seek forgiveness many, many times in one day. Many, many times in one day, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. أخرجه ابن ماجه في سننه من حديث عبد الله بن بصر. She said that Ibn Majah, he narrated this hadith in his Sunan from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Busr radiyallahu anhu. Likewise, she mentions وَمِثْلُ الْأَمْرِ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَحِيَنَ الْمُنْكَرِ, also from the means for an individual to raise the ranks in this life and in the hereafter, to the درجات العالية, by commanding the good, and by way of the tongue, by commanding the good and prohibiting the evil. By commanding the good and prohibiting the evil. فَإِنَّهُ مِنْ أَسْبَابِ الْفَلَاحِ, because commanding the good and prohibiting the evil is from the means of success. From the means of success. She mentioned the verse of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَلْتَكُنْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدُعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. And that Allah Azza wa Jal, he mentioned that there should be from you a ummah, yani a group of you, who call to goodness and they command the good and prohibit the evil, and these are the successful. These are the successful. So also from the means that a believer can use their tongue to raise ranks and obtain the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla, his pleasure in this life and in the hereafter, is by commanding the good and prohibiting the evil. Commanding the good and prohibiting the evil. Calling to the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and calling to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and commanding with salat, and commanding with good manners and noble conduct, and prohibiting everything that is contrary to that. This is all from the good deeds that a believer can use their tongue to please their Lord with. To please their Lord with. From the virtue of the tongue is that a person is able to command the good, and if they have knowledge of the good. And they can also prohibit the evil, if they have knowledge of the evil. And likewise, they know how to command the good and prohibit the evil, because this requires knowledge itself. Not just to know the good and to know the evil, but likewise to know how to command it and to know how to prohibit it. Because some people, they want to command the good, but in reality they are causing evil. And other people, because of ignorance and this methodology and the proper manner, they want to prohibit the evil and they wind up causing more evil. So commanding the good and prohibiting evil, this is something that requires knowledge. Knowledge of the command and knowledge of the prohibition, and knowledge of how to command that in the proper manner, which is good, which will bring about the required result, the hopeful result. She says here, وَهُوَ مِنَ الصَّدَقَاتِ, likewise, using the tongue, commanding the good and prohibiting the evil, this is from the charity. This is from the charity, and this is type of charity. كما في صحيحين من حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه, and referring to the previous hadith, and the tongue, one can use the tongue to command the good and to command the evil. And likewise, in reality, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned that commanding the good and prohibiting the evil is considered a type of charity. It's considered a type of charity, as has come, she mentioned, in a صحيحين. From the hadith of Abi Hurairah رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال كل السلام من الناس عليه صدقة وفيه أمر بمعروف ونهي عن منكر صدقة. She summarized the narration here. She mentioned that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, every joint of the people, كل السلامة, السلامة يعني المفاصل, والمفصل is the joint. The joint of a person, where the bones come together, the joints. every joint of the people, that one, there's a required charity, meaning every day. For every joint that one has, one must perform a charity every day for this, to show thanks for this great blessing. And this is a long narration. He said, and in this narration, وَفِيهِ, in this hadith, is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, commanding the good and prohibiting the evil is a charity. Is a charity. Commanding the good and prohibiting the evil is a charity. Is a charity. So this is a great blessing and a sign from the signs of Allah Azza wa Jal, the joints of the human being, the joints in the knees and in the feet and in the toes and in the ankles, and the joints in the shoulders and in the elbows, in their joints, and likewise in the skull, there are joints that are in the human body, where the bones come together and they move fluently. And these are parts that Allah has created specifically, precisely, with precision, and they work in the most beautiful manner for the human being to be able to move freely. So this blessing requires, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, a person should give a charity for each one of them. And from the means of giving that charity is to command the good and to prohibit the evil. To command the good and to prohibit the evil. She says, وَمِثْلُ حُسْنِ الْكِلَامِ, likewise from the good manners that one can use, that are the good way to use the tongue, likewise is to have good speech. To have good speech. فَإِنَّهُ وَقَايَةٌ مِنَ النَّارِ, because verily good speech is a barrier or protection, prevention from the fire. قال الإمام البخاري, Imam al-Bukhari, he mentioned in his collection of authentic narrations, حدثنا أبو الوليد قال حدثنا شعبة قال أخبرني عمرو عن خيثمة عن عدي بن حاتم رضي الله عنه قال ذكر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم النار فتعوذ منها وأشاح بوجهه ثم ذكر النار فتعوذ منها وأشاح بوجهه قال شعبة أما مرتين فلا أشك ثم قال اتقوا النار ولو بشق تمرة اتقوا النار ولو بشق تمرة فإن لم تجد فبكلمة طيبة فبكلمة طيبة. This narration is narrated by Adi ibn Hatim رضي الله عنه, that he said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he mentioned the fire one day, and then he sought refuge with Allah from the fire and he turned his face away. And then he mentioned the fire again, and then he sought refuge with Allah from the fire, and then he turned his face away. One of the narrators, Shu'bah, he mentioned, rahimahullah, that he said, as for saying this twice, then I have no doubt about that. And how many times did he say it, sallallahu alayhi wasallam? And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that fear the fire, even if it's by way of a half of a date. And you fear the fire, and you protect yourself from the fire, even if it's by half of a date. Now, meaning that you give in charity. And you're doing this good deed, even if it's just a half of a date. Sincerity for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, it's a means to be protected from the fire. There's a benefit here, and that is, in order to be protected from the fire, one has to work. One has to work. اتقوا النار ولو بشق تمرة. Fear the fire, protect yourself from the fire, even if it's with half of a date. And meaning that you give it in charity. You give it in charity. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, if you did not find that half of a date, then at least by having a good word and a good speech. Good speech likewise is a means to protect oneself from the fire. Good speech likewise is a means to protect oneself from the fire. She says here, وَهُوَ نَوْعٌ مِنْ أَنْوَعِ الصَّدَقَةِ, likewise giving, likewise, and in the good speech is a type of charity. It's a type of charity. كما في صحيحين من حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. She mentioned the previous hadith now with its whole wording. كل سلام من الناس عليه صدقة كل يوم تطلع فيه الشمس يعدل بين الاثنين صدقة يعدل بين الاثنين صدقة ويعين الرجل ويعين الرجل على دابته فيحمل عليها أو يرفع عليها متاعه صدقة والكلمة الطيبة صدقة وكل خطوة يخطوها إلى الصلاة صدقة ويميت الأذى عن الطريق صدقة واللفظ للبخاري.
So she mentioned the narration of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, this time with the entire wording, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that every joint from the people has a charity, and is obligatory for a charity, obligation of giving a charity for that blessing, every single day that the sun rises. And to bring justice and rectify between two is a charity, and it's considered charity. And also to help a man onto his riding animal, so to carry him, or to lift him up, or to bring him his belongings so that he can put it on his animal, likewise is considered a charity. And a good word here, this is the proof she's mentioning here, وَالْكَلِمَةُ الطَّيِّبَةُ صَدَقَةً. And a good word is considered charity. And every step, كُلُّ خُطْوَةٍ يَخْطَوْهَا أو يَخْطُوهَا يَخْطُوهَا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ صَدَقَةً. Every step that one takes to the prayer is a charity, and to remove harm from the road is likewise considered a charity. It's considered a charity. So she says here again, وَقَالَ الْإِمَامُ الْبُخَارِي رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ حَدَّثَنَا آدَمُ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا شُعْبَةُ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا سَعِيدُ بْنُ أَبِي بُرْدَةَ ابْنُ أَبِي مُوسَى الْأَشْعَرِي عَنْ أَبِيهِ عَنْ جَدِّهِ رضي الله عنه قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على كل مسلم صدقة قالوا فإن لم يجد قال فيعمل بيديه فينفع نفسه ويتصدق قالوا فإن لم يستطيع أو لم يفعل قال فيعين ذا الحاجة الملهوف قالوا فإن لم يفعل قال فيأمر بالخير قال فيأمر بالخير قال أو بالمعروف قال فإن لم يفعل قال فيمسك عن الشر فإنه له صدقة فإنه له صدقة. She mentioned the narration of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that he said that every على كل مسلم صدقة, every Muslim must give charity. So they said to him, okay, what if one does not find something to give as charity? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that he should go work with his two hands and benefit himself and then give charity with that. And they said, what if he is not able to, or if he did not do that? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, then help somebody who is in need or in distress. And they said, well, what if he did not do that? He said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then to command the good, or to command that which is good and ma'roof. And they said, okay, what if he did not do that, or what is not able to do that? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to at least to refrain from evil, because verily this is considered for him a charity. And to refrain from evil likewise is considered a type of charity. So the author will continue mentioning some of the virtues of the tongue. And the reality of preserving the tongue is from the completion of al-iman. So far she has mentioned here some of the virtues of the tongue. This is really an introduction to the chapter. And the point from the chapter is to preserve the tongue. And she will begin after this mentioning the diseases or the dangers of the tongue. This is what she's trying to lead to. And that is that the tongue must be preserved and it must be protected. And one must be aware likewise of the reality of the tongue, that it can be very virtuous and beneficial for a person, and it's in reality a great blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal. But if a person is not careful, they may lead their own souls to destruction with the words that they state and they make with their tongues. So we will continue reading bi'idhnillahi ta'ala next week at Usbu al-Qadim. Hadha wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.